Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, Episode 68.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, check out my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have an amazing voice talent, an incredibly skilled business owner, and someone who, quite frankly, gives some of the best hugs in the industry, Bridget Real. Bridget is an amazing award-winning voice actress and one of the creators of VAs for VOs, and a speaker at many different conferences on how to organize your business for true success. In this episode, we talk about utilizing business tools for efficiency, the psychology of business in voiceover, and the benefits of outsourcing and focusing more on actually voicing stuff.
So how are you doing today, Bridget?
I'm doing well, Andrew. How are you, love?
I'm so glad we finally got this organized.
I know, me too.
I was gonna say, like, we've had a couple of instances, you know, where it's like, hey, can I cancel? Can we like reschedule? And then the next time you're like, can we reschedule? I'm like, yeah.
We're busy people.
We're busy. We're little busy bodies.
So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
I don't. I take my matcha.
Matcha.
Let me clarify. I have recently not stopped drinking coffee. That would not be accurate because, you know, I do love a good coffee, but I have switched over recently from coffee in the morning to a matcha latte in the morning and then following it up. Because I always have to have two of something. So I used to be a two coffee girl, and I've gone from like, you know, full blown milk and sugar in my coffee to black to whatever. And then so like, but I always had to have like two because I need some caffeine.
Right.
So I just recently switched over to matcha lattes. And then with my second cup, I have one of those mushroom adaptogen coffees. So I found one I like. To be fair, I've only ever tried this one. And it's from the UK. It's called Moksha, Moksha. I got it. I ordered it to my daughter's apartment and was like, oh, I like this. And I've heard from some people that they don't like a lot of them because they taste like mud or something like that.
I've only had one and it tasted like mud. That's right, what I'm asking. Okay.
So this one that I have has decaf coffee in it, has a little bit of decaf coffee in it, but then it has chai and it has turmeric and it has cinnamon and it has cacao and it has a boatload of mushrooms, you know, in it. So it's really good. I don't know. I like it. And then I have it with milk, with oat and hemp milk, because and date sugar.
Oh, okay.
And I do the same thing with my matcha. I make my matcha up meanwhile, I've got in my little Nespresso milk frother thingy, I've got my oat and hemp milk going with my vanilla powder and date sugar. And then I mix it in there. I'm fancy.
Do you make like a date sugar syrup or like, do you just put the date sugar in it?
It's date syrup.
Okay.
So, but it has like the crushed up dates in it. So there's a little Turkish market up the street from my house and they sell date syrup, but it's actually got like the crushed up dates in it. So like you'll get like clumps of dates, like crushed up dates in there, which is kind of cool. But yeah, you know, when I like coffee, it's at the end of a meal.
Yes.
Like if I go out to a restaurant.
Digestive, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. We could sit here and talk. I mean, I realize it's the voiceover coffee shop, but we could talk about coffee for an hour because I do love coffee. So
yeah, me too. So how did you get started in voiceover? Because, I mean, I know you've got a BA in linguistics. I do know that about you. But, like, I don't know, like, your actual origin story. Like, did that come from that? Or, like, how'd you get wrapped up in this?
Okay. So I do have my BA in modern languages and linguistics. I've studied, in total, I think I've studied 13 languages.
Oh, wow.
I think, yeah. French, Russian, Spanish, Japanese, German, Latin, sign language, Chinese, Dutch, Italian. I won't say Danish, really, because I can say like two things in Danish. Portuguese.
I know what a Danish is, but I don't speak.
Right? I can say tak, and I can say good day. Oh, and fun fact, the word for orange juice is appelsin.
Appelsin. Huh.
Yeah, that means orange That's juice neat. In Danish.
Neat.
Kind of weird. But my overall origin story was when I was a kid, I always wanted to be the voice of a cartoon, which is kind of like, I don't know if it's Alanis Morissette ironic or what, but like I've never actually done animation. I'd love to, but I've never actually done it.
Okay.
I was always told at that time that you have to be in a major city. And I wasn't. I mean, I was in DC, but I wasn't in like LA or New York. Was a teacher. Was like a Montessori teacher, was like yoga and Pilates instructor, was translator for a little while, like all these different things. I worked for School of Rock for a while.
Yeah.
And then my best friend had told me that she had started doing some auditions on online casting sites. And I was like, what is this? And so I looked it up and I decided that I wanted to try and pursue that dream because I didn't realize it was all online or it was starting to really shift to online. That was a decade ago. And so my boss from School of Rock gave me my first interface and it was a little Mbox interface. And he let me in an AT2020 and he taught me, like he brought me into one of our practice rooms and was like, let me explain a little bit about audio engineering to you. And he gave me like a crash course on it, taught me Audacity, which I switched out of like as quickly as possible. Cause I hate, like, God bless all those people who love Audacity, but not for me.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I'm an audition girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to, you know, I started with like a lot of people do, like on online casting sites. And after about a year, I had earned $100. My first job was for an ignition interlock, or as I like to say, a blow and go. And you may cut that part out if you want. I don't know.
No, it's staying. Go ahead.
and then I was not having a whole lot of luck. I was getting a little bit of you know, luck, but I was trying to figure it out. I decided I was going to try and go to, you know, Fiverr or something like that. It was not part of the community at all. I was connected to a few people on LinkedIn. So Christina Malizia from GVAA, or one of the founders of GVAA, she and I were connected on LinkedIn. I had just created a Fiverr profile and I hadn't launched it yet, but I was like putting together my little store and the whole bit. And I'm on LinkedIn and she posts this thing from Jay Cohen. He's an audiobook guy. And he had posted this. He had written this article saying, I'm no longer afraid of Fiverr. And Christina Malizia had said like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that this person had posted this. And basically was talking about how people who are on Fiverr often get blacklisted and by, you know, major advertising agencies and things like that. And so I was like, oh no, I'm about to launch my Fiverr show, like my Fiverr store rather. And I was like, what do I do? So I reached out to her going like, hey, we've never actually met, but I'm wondering if you would talk to me about this because you posted this and I'm really nervous. I'm about to launch my Fiverr store, but maybe I shouldn't. What do you think? And she, like, within probably about an hour, Christina sent me back the longest email that was like, stop, don't do that. She's like, you need to be part of the community. You need to get coaching. You need to get this. Cause I'd never had any coaching. I had a demo that a friend of mine helped me get from a producer. That's like from a nobody, like what do they call them? Demo mill kind of thing, but it just wasn't it was a professionally produced demo, but it wasn't by anybody from the voiceover community. And it wasn't really going to work. It was kind of a, a mix of all different styles of voices and things like that, but not of genres or whatever. So, you know, I really didn't have any of the tools that I needed. And Christina was like, give me your hand, sweet child. I shall save you. And she brought me into the community and introduced me to GVAA. And I got connected with David Rosenthal, who was like my first mentor. And then he hooked me up with Ann Ganguza, who was my first coach. And she and I coached for a year until she did my commercial demo, which still stands the test of time 10 years later.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So that's my origin story. And from there, it just went. Here I am 10 years later, still doing this.
Fantastic. And you're really good at being resourceful, too. Like, I mean, some people can't comprehend that it's possible to use tools to do 50 times more with half the time. I mean, people do astonishingly little. I mean, we're humans and designed to conserve energy and we're predisposed to laziness. But like, what are like some of the main tools that you've kind of like, you do a lot of testing. So like, what are some of the tools that you've like tested over the years that have kind of like helped you leverage efficiency?
Wow. Good question. Wow. I'm like super on the spot now.
Yeah.
You know, things that I've tested, I try a little bit of everything and I kind of find that if it sticks with me, because I have a really bad attention span, I should probably be medicated for it and I'm not. But like,
That's what I'm asking. Like, what's stuck with you? Like, what tools are you still using on a day-to-day basis that have kind of like helped you stay efficient in your business?
Kanban. Kanban keeps me afloat all the time. My Google Calendar.
Kanban
is Japanese project management. So it was designed by one of the directors, the vice president of the Toyota company. He developed it out of World War II with the Toyota system. He went to a pick and mix in, I want to say Michigan or something like that. And he was really impressed by the way they used this sort of sticker system on their shelves to note what shelves needed to be restocked. So he was so fascinated by it that he brought it back and he implemented it into the line, the machine line. That's not the word I'm looking for. Assembly line.
Assembly line
to kind of make them more efficient. And they found that they wasted less materials and became faster. And this was like well before Toyota was who they are now, like well before they are who they are now. So he actually saved them money and helped them to make more money. So essentially what it has developed into, because there was a software developer in the 80s or 90s or something like that, who used it for software development and in the business world, essentially bare bones of it is you take a piece of paper, you take a board, whatever you want, you divide it into three columns. You have your to-do column, you have your doing column, and you have your done column. And you take all of the things that you have to do in a day, right? And you put them on little post-it notes or whatever. And each step, like not like big things, like need to get a demo. That's not a thing. It's like all the steps of what goes into getting a demo, right?
Right.
And you put all of those into your to-do list. And as you take action on each of them, you move it from to-do to doing to done. And so it gives you physical flow to your productivity. So I use that all the time. I actually have cork boards now that have. One of my cork boards just fell, so I can actually pick it up and show you.
Yeah.
So this is my cork board and I have pins. I had to glue this back up because the bane of my existence. I have these little whiteboard dry erase white things that I can pin these up. And so this is on one side of my desk. And as I'm doing the different tasks in my day, I move them over to done.
You don't use like an electronic one, like the one in Nimble or like Trello or something like that?
I do use Trello, but here's the benefit of using the physical version over something digital. Digital, you can minimize and get. Yeah, digital, you can minimize it and get it out of your face. The more you have something in your face, the more likely you are to take action on it. So always remind yourself. And like I tell people all the time, like I swear anybody who's ever heard me talk for 5 seconds hears me talk about Kanban all the time. Mm-hmm. But my first Kanban board was a gigantic piece of wrapping paper Like I took like this big old piece of purple wrapping paper and I divided it into three columns and I took like cardstock and I made my columns and said like, you know, on deck doing done. And I would take like post-it notes and you can write everything. And the cool thing is when you're done with those post-it notes, like when you, like after the day or the week or whatever, however long, you can just let that done column fill up and you'll just feel really accomplished. But the other thing you can do is fold them up and stick them in a jar. So on those days that you feel like complete garbage about yourself and you're like, I'm no good at anything I do. I'm worthless. I'm not doing accomplishing anything. I'm an imposter and everybody's going to realize it. Look at that jar, open some things up and remind yourself of all the steps and all the accomplishments that you have, you know, achieved over the time. It's a really good way to kind of like build yourself up.
Oh, absolutely. See, I've stopped looking at what I'm missing towards the long-term goal. And I started focusing on the task that I need to do today towards that being the goal.
Yes.
And so if I completed that, I completed the goal for the day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yep. That's how.
The other thing kind of in that same vein is, because I used to be a big planner person and Mark Scott and I used to like have a whole like battle over whether Clever Fox was better than Panda Planner and all this other stuff. But I even found that like I'm not using planners as often because it becomes busy work for me. And I can spend a whole lot of time writing things down. And again, close that book. It's no longer in my face. So I need things that are in my face just being like, get it done, get it done. So my accountability buddy told me recently, because I was having a little bit of a, you know, crisis of productivity, which we all do. I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit. And she was like, we're going to adopt Jonathan Tilley's touch it once method, which is Jonathan says, like, essentially, if you have something, you pick it up. If it's like in your hands, you just take care of it. So it's like, you know, if you've got that email that you open up from, say, that agent that's like that audition, it's like rather than going, I'm going to study it, I'm going to get it done. And OK, I've got this many hours to get it done. I'm going to wait and what? Nope. It's in your face. You get it done. Mm-hmm. Like if you've opened it up, like if you've got a bill that you got to pay, you pick up that envelope and like you touch it once, you get it done. Like there is no putting it off. Once it's touched your hand once, action needs to be taken on it. So,
gotcha.
And I've been doing that for the last like a little over a week now. And it's definitely got me back on track. What other things do I use? Again, Google Calendar, huge. I mean, because I between VA for VO, JMC demos, my own VO work, and just, you know, having kids, having a life, having a husband, having three dogs, you know, trying to keep it all afloat and trying to remember that I have got something scheduled. I am terrible at that. So Google Calendar, man, I am like, I will put in absolutely everything into Google Calendar because I also use my smartwatch. Smartwatch has been really helpful for me because it reminds me obviously of any appointments coming up on Google Calendar, but if I have my smartwatch on, I can put the phone away. Like because I will get so distracted. If my phone's in front of me, I will like pick it up. I'll start doom scrolling or whatever. I can get, again, I need to be medicated. I'm not. but if my daughter messages me on WhatsApp or what have you, oh, look at that. I have a reminder that I need to be on the VO coffee shop right now. I have it to like tap it and like that's what pops up. But like if my daughter messages me or my husband messages me during the day, it's like that will pop up and I'll go, okay, that's worth when I have a second to get on there and address whatever that issue is. But it keeps me from my cell phone distraction, which I have a really bad addiction with. So
now I've never used a smartwatch in the booth. So like whenever you get a notification, it doesn't like create any interference with like your microphone or anything?
I've got it set up to be on like vibrate. And so, okay, much to the, I'm going to make the scandalous statement. I'm an Android girl.
I'm an Android guy. I've got a Google Pixel. I love that thing.
Oh, my husband loved his Google Pixel.
Google Lens is amazing. I could take a picture of something and it will Google it for me. It's so amazing. I love my Pixel.
He loved his Pixel before, and then he switched over to the Samsung with me. I've been a Samsung girl for a really long time, and then he's found reasons to not like it. He's an IT nerd. Like, I married an IT nerd, and so he is super bougie about all kinds of tech-related things. So he can always find something to you know, something wrong with things. But yeah, so anyway, my point is, so I have the Samsung watch and it has the vibration in the bottom here, like underneath here. So it vibrates on my skin, but it doesn't vibrate out loud.
That's,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So which is really nice. And then I just turn the sound off on the phone, which is currently right next to me. But yeah, so it works really well. And that way it minimizes my distractions. So like it's helpful. And it keeps me pretty much on track. So I'd say about 95%.
Gotcha.
What about you?
What do you mean, what about me? Like, what tools do I use?
Yeah, what are your favorite tools? I'm going to interview you right back.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, so I do the touch it and don't stop until it's done thing too. I also like to organize my overall day. So I'll spend like the first 3 to 4 hours of my day doing content creation for like shorts for the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, or maybe static images for my business or promotional material. And then I'll go through and I'll see if I have any auditions for my agent that I need to get done. And then I like to spend up until maybe around noon to be admin time. So that way, yeah, noon and beyond, I can focus on recording as much as possible and I don't have as much of a time constraint. And like when I need to get things recorded versus when I need to spend time with family, or I have more afternoon time instead of late night time to like wrap up things
by that point too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've had time to get my copy in.
Exactly.
But I mean, I've realized that the more I progress in my career, the more things that I have to say no to doing. You know what I mean? Because like the no muscle is just really a yes muscle to the things that matter most. Mm-hmm. And so like building my business, you start to say no to more and more little things because they're not associated with the overall goal.
Right.
So right. What are some things that you've had to say no to in the past like year that you've kind of developed that like weren't a part of your business, that weren't a part of where you wanted to go?
Where I think, well, part of it has been I've had to say no to taking certain calls, particularly from like my kiddo, because I love my daughter dearly, but she will call me at any time of the day just to be like, hey, I'm really frustrated. It's like, it's so cold outside, you know, like it's not like, usually when she's messaged me, she'll like, hey mom. And I'm like, does this matter? And so I had to like basically tell her, like I had to draw my line in the sand and be like, no, we cannot do this. I've had to draw my line in the sand with certain VA things, because I still do VA work, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's certain tasks that I do as well for other people and other teams. And I've had to be like, no, can't do this, can't do that, or just kind of like reframe it. And I would say a lot of it for me is not quite so much about saying no as it is about reframing the yes.
Right.
Under these circumstances, I cannot do it right now, or under these circumstances, I cannot address this. However, let's change the circumstances to this, and then I can address it.
Can you give me an example of that? Like what have you had to reframe into a yes? Like
I was trying to like be nice about it, because without naming names and naming groups and things.
No. Don't name names like, and groups. Name tasks. Like what were tasks or things that you had to say, like had to reframe into a yes, or just give me a concept. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a specific name.
Well, okay. So I will say some things that I had to reframe, like not this year so much, but like previous years, was like my video production work. So I've always done like demo videos for people. And I've had a little side business doing that for a long time. And I realized that it was not serving me because it was taking so much time. Like I am obsessive about things looking right and being presented right. And I want the quality to be there. And I like, and so, you know, I won't just take someone's money and just throw something together. Like I, it just doesn't sit right with me. I'm a very visual person and I like things to be just right, you know, but I wasn't charging enough. So I had to just, you know, start telling people like, no, I can't do this for that amount. So I had to switch over and reframe that and to be like, if I'm going to do this demo video for you, I'm going to have to, instead of doing an entire demo video for you, I'm going to have to do this by track. I charge it by the track. So if you want, you know, one spot done, it'll cost you this much. If you want, you know, the entire thing done, it's going to like, it, there was a little bit of a discount, like the more tracks that they got done. So if it was like a full demo video, it might be, you know, less expensive than, you know, doing individual tracks. Mm-hmm. But like, so I definitely had to reframe that. I've gotten very good with, you know, people saying, hey, can we do this at this time? And I go, I can't do this right now. I know you want this done right now, but I've got the following things. And like recently I had someone come to me and say like, hey, can we do the following thing? And I'm like, no, not right now. Like I had actually somebody come to me on, what was it? It was the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Somebody came to me and they were like, hey, got this. Can we handle this? And I was like, not on the day before Thanksgiving. I've got a house full of people and I am in the middle of cooking.
Got a turkey to de-thaw, man.
right? Exactly. I'm like, I got a home and I was hosting 17 people. So I was like, I can't. I got a whole lot of stuff. I'm like, however, let's revisit this on Friday. Let's, you know, like we can do this. So again, it's reframing the perspective. It's not a solid no, but it's like a not right now, not under these circumstances. I know you want something done immediately, but I can't get that done immediately. So let's revisit this on Friday and then let's see how that goes. You know, VA for VO, we've got little things that we're, you know, there's three of us. So we're always having to, you know, be willing to be flexible. And I think that's just kind of it. It's, you know, you got to have the no, but I think it needs to come with a bit of flexibility, you know, unless it's like morally, ethically, completely wrong, then you go, you know.
I mean, at what point is it not flexibility, but it's perfectionism overdoing the thing?
God, you're good at these questions. shit.
So at some point you have to just do the thing. And I mean, you could find a task and you could chip at it for like hours until you think it's perfect. Like, especially in email marketing, drafting something. What are things where you've realized that you were over perfecting instead of doing the thing where you kind of had to shift?
I think I do that a lot with VA for VO stuff. Mm-hmm. Because not with like making connections and things like that, like not the actual process itself, but like we're in the process of like, you know, we're doing like, we're always pushing to do like new marketing things or whatever. And we're in the process of moving our entire website over to Kajabi. And there's all these little things that have to be done. And I found myself getting freaked out by what I didn't know. So it was like, let me learn. And then I was like, and then finally, like one night, and actually it was when Miranda was here, which was a few weeks ago, I was like, she was sitting next to me and I don't know what the difference was, but I was like, oh, and I just, instead of going into let me learn, like obsessive learning mode, it was, let me just do it. Let me just try it. Let me just, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to have to reach out to somebody at, you know, Kajabi headquarters and get them to, you know, fix up my little failure here. Like, and I didn't, that was the thing. Like I realized so I think a lot of people become afraid of succeeding, afraid of trying and actually succeeding, that they will stop themselves to avoid failure. And one thing we all know is that the best growth comes from failing.
Oh, I have, like, failed so many times.
I'm a big embracer of the fail, man. Like, you got to do it.
So, well, I mean, statistics show to become a master of any technique, you need to do it for 100 hours. But if you break that down, that's 18 minutes a day for a year. That's doable.
That is doable. That's very doable.
That's how you master any skill. And I mean, you have to have that time to master skills, because I mean, especially in this industry, let's face it, there is no shortage of unskilled labor.
Well, it's
that's the difference. Like, you have to be skilled at what you do, and to be skilled, you have to do it.
And honestly, it all boils down to fear, you know, and that can be, what is it, like, for everything a reason. And what's the other version of fear? Fear is for everything a reason, or I'm going to have to look it up. It's going to bug me. But like, where you just sit there and give yourself like all these reasons of why you can't do something, why you can't, you know, and ultimately, what is, if you try something and you fail, you're still gaining. You're gaining a lesson. If you don't try something, first off, you don't fail. You don't succeed. You don't get anywhere. You're just stagnant.
Right.
Like, and that's just ridiculous. So, you know, and you're never going to move forward. At least if you're trying and you're failing, it's a step forward. It might be a step forward and three steps back, but hey, you learned that you took a step forward, and you're not going to take that same step forward to go three steps back. Maybe you're going to take a different step forward in a different direction. So you just got to keep trying. And I think that's one thing that I really try to embrace now. So yeah, and it's always with new stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always the fear of the unknown, right? It's always like the new thing that you're like, you know, oh my gosh, if I fail, it's going to kill my career and everybody's going to find out. And what? No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you do have like a first chance to make a good, what is it that you have one chance to make a first impression? Or is that how the saying goes?
Yeah. But what you don't realize is how many buyers there are out there. So you've got 100 first impressions or 1,000,000 first impressions that you can make. If you made a bad first impression here, that gives you the tools on how not to make one here.
Do you know who made a horrible first impression on me?
Who? Was it me?
No. Although you came out of the box out of nowhere and you had the voiceover coffee shop. I'm like, who is this guy? And then like I didn't know you. And then I met you and I was like, oh, I love him. He's so wonderful.
Thanks.
So it was great. But no, Brad Newman. And Brad knows this. 2017 or 2018, we were at Via Woodlanta, and I knew of Brad. I think we might have been Facebook friends or something to that effect or whatever. And he comes up, and I'm still getting to know people, right? Like, and he goes, and I see him and I go, oh my God, you're Brad Newman. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I know you. I think we're Facebook friends or something like that. And he was like, cool. All right. And he like walks off. And I was like, he was probably busy at the Via Atlanta. So he was probably busy or whatever. But I was just like, ew, what a dick. He's just rude. Like, he's such a, like, and he just like, cause I don't know. It just came off super smug. And I was just like, ew. And then, but it stuck with me. And I remember when I was getting it was 2016. So when I was getting my website redone, I was switching over 2017 to voice actor websites, and Karen and Joe were doing my website. And I was like, who do I have host at blah, 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 blah. And they were like, oh, you should check with Brad Newman, Upper Level Hosting. And I'm like, do I really have to? I hate that guy. He's so obnoxious. And they were like, what? Brad? And I was like, oh, he's the worst. Like, he's a jerk. I do not like him. He's gross. And I mean, like, this one interaction, I had now grown into this, like, oh, he's so awful. And Karen's like, you must have caught him in a bad moment or something. She's like, trust me. She's like, his website hosting is the best, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I don't know. And so come like maybe a week or so later, I get this email from Brad, and he was like, I have heard through the grapevine that I have hurt your feelings, or that I had offended you at some point when we met. He was like, I genuinely do not remember, but let me just apologize if I left you like feeling less than. He was like, that was not my intention. And I was like, so taken aback, because people just don't apologize. Like, he's got thousands of people who use him for hosting. He doesn't need me.
Like, yeah, and then he's got upper level CRM too. Like, yeah, right. He's got a lot of tools that people use.
Yeah, like he's, you know, so I was, he doesn't need me, but like he was so genuinely like, he found out that, I know it was Karen who probably told him, and I was, she like, but he reached out and he was like, I heard that I did this thing. I am so sorry. That was not my intention. I don't even remember, but I left you feeling less than, and I am so sorry. Can you please forgive me? And can we start this again? And I was like, yeah, 100%. Like, what unbelievable integrity. And he is, I just adore him. Like, yeah. I think he is just a wonderful human being, but you know, I tell really long stories.
So like, at what point of your business did you realize you needed a virtual assistant? Cause I have it broken down at the point where I will get one. Like I have a list of things that need to happen before I say, yes, this is the time to get a virtual assistant. But what did, when, at what point did your business, you looked at things and were like, hey, like I need some help here.
It was actually Mark Scott. Mark Scott was the one who told me. Because, you know, I had been Jay Michael's assistant. I used to be Kayla. I was Kayla for a couple of years. A lot of people, I think nowadays, nobody knows that anymore because it's been so many years that Kayla has been Jay Michael's right hand. Mm-hmm. And like, but I was the hand for, you know, 2 years. And then I was getting busy. And so he brought on Kayla. And I think now Kayla's getting too busy for him, but that's a whole nother story. But I had been Jay Michael's assistant, and I had done some social media stuff for a few other VOs and whatnot, but I was starting to get really, really busy. And Mark was like, I was in Mark Scott's mastermind, and he was like, as I'm telling him all the things I was trying to get done for the next month, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. He was like, why don't you hire an assistant? And I was like, to do what? And he was like, well, to do that lead generation that you need to get done. I was like, can I do that? He was like, yes, you can hire someone. He's like, I hire somebody over in Asia. And I forget what country his virtual assistant is from. But he was like, yeah, I do. You know, he was like, you can definitely do that. I was like, well, how do I go about doing that? And so he walked me through that. I didn't end up going on whatever site it was. And I didn't go do it. I was going to. But every time, because I kept going, I can do this. I can handle this. I can handle all the things I need to do in my business. And every month, Mark was like, have you gotten an assistant yet? And I'm like, no. And then he's like, seriously, find someone. And in 2020, the end of 2019, I was like, okay, I need to get someone. And that was when my son's friend from high school posted on Facebook that he was looking to get a job in a restaurant as a busboy. He was a law student. And I was like, you need to be someone's assistant. I was like, mm-hmm. As a law student, you need to like do something with that research brain of yours. And he was like, do you know anyone? And I was like, as a matter of fact, I do. And so I taught him everything. And that was 2019. And thank God, because in 2020 with COVID, the whole world shut down. And had he been, you know, a busboy or dishwasher in a restaurant, you know, he would have been ass out for, you know, for work. So he was amazing to me for that. And actually, at the same time, he could not have come into my life at a better point in my life, because that was when my mom got sick. And trying to keep my business afloat, trying to keep everything going and taking care of my parents as my mom went through her cancer battle was a lot. So he was like behind this. We had weekly meetings and he was like behind the scenes just doing stuff for me. Like he was setting up my CRM, and Mark was wonderful and was like, allowed me to give him access to the Nimble class because he was my assistant. And so he learned all that. And then he was started doing like email marketing for me and whatnot. And he just kept me motivated. Like as we had these weekly meetings, he was like, yeah, go. He's like, I'll handle this. You handle this. I'll handle this. So like, we just became this magic team. And, you know, then he left me a year later. So
at what point did you start VA for VO? Like, what was like the origin of that, like new business?
So when I had Lucas as my assistant, because I had hired an assistant and because I had been an assistant, Mark had me on the podcast and said, it was basically a virtual assistant, you know, podcast. And I could speak from both sides of the coin,
yeah,
which was kind of unique. And then afterwards, Mark was like, so when are you going to put together a virtual assistant business? And I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I do not have time to add one more thing to my plate right now. He was like, yes, you do. He's like, you need to do this. And I was like, and at the same time, because Lucas was no longer my assistant, I had created with Lynn a course on outsourcing because Lynn was my audio editor, and she's also been my VO bestie for years. And so we created this course about outsourcing to be able to present at VO Atlanta. And at the time, Miranda was my assistant.
Okay.
And so in that, we had like Lucas, we had Miranda, like we had J. Michael, we had Mark Scott. I think those were the only four people we had that we had interviewed in that course. So there's like little video snippets of them, like talking about, like, you know, because we use like J. Michael and Mark as interviews for like the VO side of it. And then from the VA side, we had Lucas and Miranda in there. And Miranda, because she was my assistant, was getting hit up by people all the time. Like, how do I become an assistant? How do I do that? How, you know, Lynn and I started, like, Mark was still hounding me from behind. Lynn was like, well, should we do this? And I was like, maybe. And then Miranda came to me and she goes, I was thinking about creating a course on how to become a VA because I get hit up all the time from people. She's like, what do you think? And I was like, and I talked to Lynn and I was like, should we just like team up with Miranda and like create this? And she was like, yeah, let's do it. So we did. And here we are. And then after we started VA for VO, Miranda stopped being my assistant because I just kind of felt like it was a conflict of interest. And, you know, honestly, like I couldn't afford her anymore anyway. So she's too damn good. But yeah. So that's how VA for VO was born. And then in all of it, because Lynn and Miranda and I had all, you know, been hit up by people asking us questions. That's where we were like, okay, we can't just make a connection business. We can't just be, you know, voice over Tinder.
Right.
We have to like teach people how to do things. So that's why we came up with the whole suite of courses and all that kind of stuff. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then you joined us.
I did. I get so much value from being a virtual assistant because I love marketing. I really love marketing. It's so much fun. Because, I mean, I don't look at it as a list of tasks. I look at it as a hunt towards my next opportunity. And I love being able to take other businesses and try to find them opportunities.
Yeah, I get that.
And it works for me because it allows me to do A-B testing because I'm a virtual assistant for two voiceover artists. So I can take two different emails and say they're really, really good emails. You know what I mean? Right. I'm going to craft them and I'm going to build a strategy for both of them. But it allows me to say, okay, this strategy is working a little bit more. So let me take a piece of that and tweak it into each of the businesses. It's beautiful. I love it.
You're good at it. People love you.
Thank you. So if you could go back to before you started in voiceover and like write a letter to yourself, what would you tell your past self?
Ooh. What would I tell myself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first and foremost, now is this assuming that my future self will become a VO?
No, yeah, like your future self did become a VO. You're you. Okay. Like this is actually this is actual time travel here.
Like actual time. Okay. So we're like, okay, it's not like going back in time and like if you could change anything kind of letter.
No,
like,
And so I asked that in all of the episodes of my show, but the main reason I asked that is because I hear somebody ask, what would you tell other voiceover artists in your position? They always give this hypothetical that's not necessarily practical. You know what I mean? And so I want to know what's actually going through your brain, what you would actually do if you were to look at yourself as someone who is just getting into voiceover. Like, how would you help yourself to grow, whether it's motivation or a tactic or any number of those things?
I would definitely tell myself, like, estimated taxes. pay estimated taxes. Do not try to pay your taxes at the end of the year. Because I did that as soon as
I do it quarterly. I always do it
quarterly. Oh, dear God.
Oh, it saves me so much headache.
When I started hitting the six-figure mark, I did not realize. I mean, I was very fortunate for a while that, like, I was below that six-figure mark. And between my husband's income and my income, like, the end of the year wasn't too bad. It hurt a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. I hit six figures, and for 2 years, I didn't pay estimated taxes. I'm still making up for it. I started paying estimated taxes this year. So the number one thing I would tell myself is, for the love of God, child, pay estimated taxes. They are your friends. Quarterlies are your friends. The other thing I would tell myself is, like, actually, like, it's kind of tough because, I mean, other than changing the quarterly taxes, I'm like, I'm a firm believer that every single step that I've taken, every single mistake that I've made, every screw up, every learning thing, every place that I've gone, like, it all led me to here, you know, it all led me to right now. Yeah. So I guess part of it would just be like, trust yourself, trust the process, you know, make time for your health. Like, 'cause that's, as I am pushing 50, I'll be turning 50 next year. Like, little things are just creeping up. So, you know, make time for health and also just sort of just trust myself. Like, it's all going to be okay. Be willing to, like, to be silly. Don't be so, I get in my own head about, you know, getting up on a mic and being, you know, really super creative. Like, sometimes I feel like I hold myself back from taking risks. I say that comparing myself to other people that I see get up on the mic and they, like, just, you know, rock.
What are you talking about? I've heard you make a Nintendo commercial sound sexy. Like, what are you talking about?
I'll say for sure it's the improv kind of thing, like those, yeah, like super creative choices. Now, I was a theater kid growing up, and I feel, mm-hmm, like throughout the process, like, I've sort of lost that because I think what I'm really known for is the business side of things, right? Like, I'm known, like, in the VO industry as being, like, you know, somebody who's people ask questions to on the business, you know, and outsourcing and all the technical aspects. And so I think sometimes when that comes into play, that, like, you just forget to, you know, take those risks and be brave and forget yourself in the creative process. Like, forget, get out of your head, shake it off, like, you know, and don't be afraid of making a fool of yourself. Don't be afraid to, you know, be out there and be bold and be creative and be wild and be free. Like, you know, I think those are all things I would remind myself, you know, like, play like you used to, play a lot, play hard, play often, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, what would you tell yourself? Has anybody asked you that?
No. And I honestly don't know.
Come on.
I would embrace discomfort because I have found one of the biggest things that was stopping me for a long time was finding discomfort in tasks, which is something we often do. Like, if we have a long list of people that we need to go email, I might not want to feel like emailing that day. And I also might not feel like doing my dishes, but I'm going to go do my dishes and tell myself that it's a productive thing because I'm taking one discomfort over the other. And so, right, once I was able to figure out, okay, why am I discomfortable about that, and embrace it and look at it as the overall long-term goal, then I was able to be more productive in my business. So, I mean, there are creative aspects, there are technical aspects. I could give myself a list of resources, but figuring out how to dissect discomfort and also business anxiety. Those, yeah, two things. Because I found that when I was anxious in my business, it was because I had too many choices. I had, like, too many things to do, or I didn't know which one was going to take me to the overall goal. And when I had depression in my business, it was because I didn't have enough choices. I had that helplessness of, like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
So I would tell myself, like, those little mental tricks that have helped me grow and be more effective and break down why I'm feeling certain ways so I could focus on being more creative and being more efficient in my business.
Yeah, that's I absolutely love that. You have told me that before, the difference between what is business depression versus what is business anxiety. And it is, it's game changing.
It helps like so that. Much.
Right. Like it clarifies. And I don't know, I guess I'm one of those people. It's like, I'm not big on like having a label necessarily on myself. Like I'm not one of those people who like glorifies like, oh, I'm this, I'm that, you know, like I try not to anyway. Maybe I do. I don't know, but I try not to, but I like to be able to identify things like, okay, this is this. And because if I can identify it, then I can come up with a strategy around it.
Right.
So because when you told me like the difference between like depression in business versus anxiety in business, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And it just gave me like a pathway, you know, like it just gave me like, okay, this is what you're dealing with. And it's funny because I started identifying it in other people.
Yeah.
And other things that I was seeing, I was like, huh.
Because I've been doing a lot more studying on psychology and the actual rules of life, I guess you could say, because we spend a lot of time trying to be innovative or trying to do a new thing. But like a lot of times it's not being innovative and it's just us trying to make excuses for why we're not doing the things we know we should be doing. So I like to look at the psychology and the statistics around the business side of what I'm doing and like the mental side of what I'm doing. So that way I can focus more of my energy on being creative. That's where I want to be innovative, is in my creativity.
Yes. Yes. You know, absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's because it, you do, like, if you can just be like calm, confident and just allow to flow in the business side of things, then it frees up space on that, the play side, on the creativity side, you know, and I agree with that.
I don't like to spend mental energy on wondering what to do next.
No. And I will say, like, when I kind of fell into this October, November, September, October. The beginning of November were like kind of a little wonky space for me because I was doing a lot of traveling. I was doing a lot of things on my plate. And I fell off of some really good habits that I have. And then when I noticed it affecting my business, I got really in my head about it. And the minute I was able to identify that and just go, okay, then I was able to kind of like clear the space and go, here's your options of what you can do. And here's the options of the things that you need to do. And here, like, so which one are you going to tackle? And since I've been doing that, like, it's just, it's like a big breath of fresh air. You know, I am a big believer in minding your stress levels, being very like taking active steps towards your stress levels, because I'm not a person, I am a bit of a pressure cooker. Like I'm known to put things off to the last second on, you know, on things, but I like, where was my brain going with this?
I had to figure out the difference between what was me using stress as an excuse and what was actually me being overwhelmed. And when I was overwhelmed, I had to figure out how to organize it, not so that I do less, but so that I do more efficiently. And so I'm less stressed about it.
Exactly. And I think that's where I was going with it, was like, you know, even though I pressure cook, I having stress on your mind and your body takes its toll. It really does. And I am noticing that, especially now as, you know, getting to that, the tender side of middle age, is like, you know, that all the effects it has on, you know, your physical body, your emotional state, and your overall productivity. So like, you're right. Like there's nothing wrong with a little challenge and a little fire in the belly.
Yeah. No, you still need to do the things, like, yes.
Right. Like that's, if it's going to keep you motivated, I feel like motivation and inspiration and fire is great, and drive. Like that's really good to have. What's not really good to have is stress and overwhelm and anxiety. Like, and that's what I am actively taking steps towards reducing in my life.
And that's what I love about all of the services that you provide, whether it be VA for VO or the classes that you teach. It's always been focused around everybody has a physical resource. But one of the biggest detriments to any business, voiceover or otherwise, is not knowing how to manage stress and organize yourself. It is one of the biggest detriments, but people don't focus as much on the mental because it's not material. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
You have taken, hey, this has been a huge detriment in my business. Here's how I can help you avoid that. And that's been powerful.
Aw, thanks. I definitely like to help people. I like to help people realize you're not alone. It's natural. And like, you're not the only person who's dealing with it. If I can give you a little bit of guidance from something I've learned, if it's going to help you a little bit, you were about to say, sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, if people want to delegate their stress, where can they find a virtual assistant for their VO business?
VAforVO.com. VAforVO.com or email us at office@VAforVO.com. And just in case you screw it up, if you type in VOforVA.com, you'll still get to us because I bought out all of the URLs so that people.
Oh, I did that. I got VO Copy Shop, the VoiceOver Copy Shop. Yeah, I did the same thing because I had that same problem.
And I do it like with all the various ways people screw up my name. And funny when Mark had me on his podcast, he mentioned something about VA for VO being VoiceOver Tinder, and he was like, "You should buy that." And I was like, "I will." And so I did. I bought VoiceOver Tinder. I bought VO Tinder. I bought like a whole bunch of like, you know, dating app kind of things. And I turned VoiceOver Tinder into a PDF for like, if you go to VoiceOver Tinder, it goes to a PDF that gives you like all these things that you can outsource in your business and some really good apps that you can get too. So, you know,
that brings me to a whole new business idea because there are so many resources in the voiceover industry. What if we created an actual VO tender where you're like, here's what I need demos. I need virtual assistant. I need this and this. And then it directs them to like, here are people that offer that resource. Kind of like
what VA for VO does.
Well, no. But I'm talking outside of VA for VO. So like, hey, if you need like a demo, then what kind of demo do you need? Okay, here are people that produce that kind of demo. You need a coach. What kind of coaching do you want to focus on? Here are coaches that are vetted that provide that kind of service. That would be cool. Like an actual like tender for like all voiceover, not just virtual assistant related stuff, but anything within the business.
Cool.
I want to start going to conferences. Okay, where are you located? Here are the conferences that happen around your area, and here's the times that they happen. That would be neat. Kind of like what Vorg does, but digital.
But digital. Well, Vorg has a digital version.
They have a digital one, but it's more of a yellow pages. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's in less of a VO Tinder.
I think there are certain things because. Like, I think there are certain services that have that.
Are they?
There are. I think there are certain websites that are like, I don't know. It would be worth looking into, wouldn't it?
It would be.
You shouldn't put this.
Sorry, we should. Okay, yeah.
You should cut this part out of the podcast because we don't want anybody stealing our idea. I'm just saying. I'm throwing that out there.
And where can people find Bridget Rial and her demos and all of her amazing work?
but not the Nintendo take. I wish I had that recorded. That was so much fun to do. You have that recorded?
Yes, I recorded that whole class.
I need it.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Amazing. So people can find me at Bridget, B-R-I-G-I-D, Real, R-E-A-L-E, at realvoices.com. Or just go to my website, realvoices.com. So there's only two Bridget Reels that I know of in the world, and one is a graphic designer and one is me. So
fantastic.
Well, so thank you. We spell it the same way.
Thanks for coming on the show. This has been magic and amazing.
This has been so much fun hanging out with you. I love you so much. This has been a blast hanging out with you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for just, you know, you ask amazing questions.
Thanks.
Like really amazing questions. And that's why I had to ask some of them back to you because, you know, they're solid, man. You're good at this.
I really hope you enjoyed this incredibly insightful episode, and I hope you got as much of this eye-opening treasure trove of practical advice as I did. If you'd like to join the VA for VO organization, you can visit vaforvo.com. And if you'd like to hear some of Bridget's amazing work, you can visit her site at realvoices.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.